A large collection of Sidney Nolan's artwork from the estate of his late wife, Mary Nolan, is up for auction at the end of the month. The collection is the biggest offering ever of his Ned Kelly pictures, and we here at the Art Show thought we'd take the opportunity to delve into the world of art auctions and estate sales, how it all works, what the role of an art advisor to such an estate entails, and how iconic works like Nolan's make it into galleries and private collections. Because to a lot of people, me included, the high-end art market can seem quite mysterious and opaque. So to help demystify this world, we've invited Mark Fraser onto the show. Mark is the art advisor and agent to the estate of Lady Nolan. Mark, thank you so much for coming in today.
It's a great pleasure, Ed. Thank you.
Mark, you've been working with this estate since 2000. What kind of relationship did you have with the family as their art advisor and the agent for the estate?
I think over such a long time period, it becomes quite personal. You become immersed in the family and what they need, and obviously friendships develop as well. And I ended up with a great friendship with Mary Nolan, Sidney Nolan's widow. Sadly, she died at quite an advanced age 3 years ago, but it became very close.
Mark, as an art advisor, what do you do?
I help both buyers and sellers achieve their goals. For sellers, of course, they want to both maximize returns, financial returns, but often they have other requirements too. They may wish, for example, that the artworks that they're selling are placed with public museums, or that they're sold in a very particular way, perhaps very privately and not publicly at auction. From the buyer's viewpoint, the buyers I look after, they're obviously very interested in quality. To be a guide and to help them secure works that are, first of all, are genuine, that's very, very important these days, that they're genuine, that they're financially prudent, that they're not overspending, and simply to help them through the process of acquiring the works and then hanging them and conserving them.
Yes. So it's really absolutely crucial, I mean, at any point, but especially when we're talking about works which are of such value, that the people coming through you, that they trust you, I guess, that you have a good relationship with them.
Entirely. And look, trust is a very, very long-term thing. I've been doing this now for 35 years, both in the UK and Australia. And it does. It takes a lifetime sometimes to build up that level of confidence.
Yes. Does it ever go wrong?
Touch wood, or it hasn't for me, but
yes.
For some it has very, very badly, yes. And there have been instances in Australia where art advisors have misadvised, have encouraged their clients to purchase artworks that are not genuine, and that can end in court action and financial failure. It can be quite disastrous.
Yes, absolutely. So it's a very, very responsible job you have. Now, Mark, this upcoming sale, 120 works, it includes the largest offering of Nolan's Ned Kelly pictures. Over 30, is that correct?
Yes, that's right. It's also the largest auction ever of Nolan's works as well. So 120 is quite a large number to put on a market.
Yes, absolutely. And there are also four paintings from, I have to say, my favourite series, his Antarctic series. So in your role as the art advisor, what do you need to do with a collection of paintings like this in terms of cataloguing? And
yeah. Well, that's a very good starting point, and one of the great benefits of looking after an artist's estate is that authenticity doesn't become an issue. What I have to do, though, is obviously make sure that the works are well presented on behalf of the family. I have to negotiate with an auction house to make sure that the family gets the best possible deal. And that's one of the roles of an art advisor.
I guess with this particular group of paintings, the provenance is clear. But you may, in your experience, come across pictures that don't have dates or any information on them. What do you do then?
Well, then it's a matter of research and obviously experience and expertise. I've been focused on Sidney Nolan's work now for the last 19 years. There are bookshelves, luckily, bookshelves and bookshelves of books on Sidney Nolan. It really is quite an extensive library I've got. And one can track down works or comparable works. And therefore, you know, doing that quite readily, one can date most of the paintings that are being offered quite accurately.
Was Sir Sidney himself good at cataloguing his own work?
No, I wish he was. Far from it, Ed. No, and a large part of my work over the last couple of decades has been to try and create a sense of order and establish a catalogue, which I've now completed.
Yes. So, Mark, once you've collected the works and you've seen what's going to be in the group of paintings, how do you then get galleries or private collectors to, I suppose, as for want of a better word, to care, to feel like they might be interested in buying the works?
Well, that's a very, very good point. And it doesn't matter whether the works are going for auction or whether I'm handling them privately. It does take an enormous amount of time and effort to persuade public institutions to acquire works. And that's a good thing. They're very prudent and they have to go through a process. It's mm-hmm. our money, after all. But it does and can take many years. I think those who enter the art world, particularly on the dealing or the consulting side, they would like to work fast, but really it's a game for tortoises, not hares.
Great. Mark, so Sidney Nolan was a prolific painter. Does that bring the price of or the value of his paintings down at all?
No, not at all. It's often said that he is prolific, and sometimes here in Australia, he's rather criticised for that.
Yes.
But, for example, if you compared his output to Picasso's, Picasso probably produced three times more work than Nolan. And I really don't see that having any impact on Picasso's work. So the fact that Nolan was prolific can also be an advantage. It means that there's more work in circulation. He's more commonly seen. So I don't think it's done him any harm, other than a few doubting Thomases maybe in Australia who do tend to knock him for that.
Yes.
He's actually, funny enough, Nolan comes under far more criticism in his country of birth than he does internationally. It's a sad element of tall poppy syndrome, I think.
Mm, yes, that's a very interesting observation. Mark, let's talk about the actual auctions now. So how does it all work? There's all these paintings and it comes to auction day. What happens?
Well, the process is surprisingly simple. On auction day, what will happen behind the scenes is that all the paintings get taken down, seats get put in their place, the crowds throng in, the auctioneer stands up in their rostrum, and it's no different to what happened in the 18th century when many of these auction houses began. We're simply calling for the highest bid.
Wow.
And a member of the public registers their interest, first of all, with the auctioneer, simply gives in their driver's license or bit of identity, and then they're free to bid, and they can keep bidding until they satisfy, you know, either they run out of money or they walk away with the artwork.
Right.
But it's very, very straightforward.
So, Mark, if I go along to an auction, I mean, I'd love to go at some point, but obviously, you know, on an ABC salary, have to be a little bit careful about my behaviour in an auction house. If you go along and let's say you have registered your interest, but then you make some sort of vague movement, like maybe an involuntary twitch or something, would that get you into trouble?
No, it
okay.
wouldn't. I worked as an auctioneer for many, many years with a couple of auction houses. And no, I don't think I ever took an involuntary bid. Auctioneers are absolutely determined to make sure, in fact, the opposite.
Mark, final question. So you've spent so many years with Sir Sidney Nolan's artworks. What have you learned about his works that you feel often gets overlooked?
I think it's the over-focus, particularly in Australia, on his Ned Kelly pictures. There is an enormous amount of attention paid to his Kelly series, and Nolan was far more than that. Over the course of 50 or even 60 years as an active artist, he produced remarkable works that didn't depict the man in the square helmet. There are still life paintings of flowers, extraordinary desert landscapes of Central Australia, images from the Gallipoli series that he did. If only more attention was paid by curators, collectors, academics on his other series, I think we'd all benefit.
Mm. Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming in. I'm going to save up $2,000 at some point over the next few years. So maybe at some point I'll be able to have some Sidney Nolan's artwork on my walls. But thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much, Ed. Thanks for having me.